Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
For those that are brand new, we've been in a long summer series. Typically, each summer, especially since I've been here the last 4 years, we do a longer series than normal. And this summer, we've been going through Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. We've had 7 weeks of that. But this week, because we're doing closing ceremonies, I'm taking a one-week pause. And so we're going to finish the Armor of God series next week, part 8. And so I really want to encourage you to get back next week. Like, you can't miss next week. Here's why. Because the 8th week, the last week of that series, I'm going to teach you practically how to put on the full armor of God every single day for you and your family. I'm going to make it real simple. And not I'm going to take the cookies from the top shelf and put them on the bottom shelf for you. I'm going to make it as easy, as simple as possible, and it's going to change your life. It's going to change your family, so I'm going to encourage you, get back. Like shame on you if you get 5 of the 7 or all the 7, but you missed the last one, okay? So be here next week. You can't miss that. But this week, we're going to pivot closing ceremonies and turn with me to John 13. John 13, serving is the theme, of course, not just this weekend, but we're highlighting it especially. And John chapter 13 is where we're going to stick and stay all day long. And this is one of those passages, by the way, that preaches itself. And so I'm going to read a little bit. I'll recap a little bit. I'll share a few thoughts, and then I'll send you home. You don't need to hear from me. You need to hear from the Lord. So John 13, verse 1, John is the 4th book in the New Testament. I'm going to read out the NIV like I normally do, and here's what it says. It was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, this is one of the original 12 disciples, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up. Somebody shout, he got up. So he got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Let's stop there for now, but keep your Bible or Bible app open because we're going to go back to it. I'm going to recap. We'll even read some more in John 13 later on. But I'm borrowing from the text. I think that's the best place to get my titles from if I can. And here's my title if you take notes in church. Love to the end. Love to the end. Would you bow your heads with me? God, we love you so much. We're so grateful for what you did this weekend. And here's the cool thing. A lot of people don't know this, but it wasn't just our church serving our city yesterday, but there's churches all across the nation that yesterday were serving their city. And we believe, God, that that's what our calling is. Yes, we believe in worldwide missions, and we send out, we invest money every single month as a church into so many worldwide missions. We believe in that. But we also believe, God, that we've got to care about our city, the place that you've planted, our own backyard. Even in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt here in Houston, there are still so many people that don't know you. Maybe they know a little bit about church, but they don't know you, Jesus, as their personal Lord and Savior. And so we pray, and we partner with the Big C Church, and we pray, God, that you would help us to change cities, one person, one family, one neighborhood at a time. That, God, we're not here to yell out judgment, but to serve like you served. God, to be your hands and to be your feet. And so as we celebrate more today and as we keep our eyes locked on you, God, I pray that this very familiar passage to some, I pray, God, that you would speak to us. Maybe it's a new word, or maybe it's reconfirming an old word, something that needed to get deeper into our soul. And I pray for every single one of us, God, that we would leave this service encouraged, equipped, and excited to make a difference right where we are. God, we give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, Amen. Love to the end. This is such an incredible passage. Like I said, it kind of preaches itself. And what's so great about John 13 is honestly, there's so much like there's so much context there that's so rich. There's so much tension, and there's so many things happening at this dinner. I don't know if you've ever been to a dinner like that before, maybe with a family, like your family or somebody else's family, and you could sense like tension in the room. Like, honestly, as I read John 13, it reminds me more of like an episode from This Is Us. Like, there is so much going on behind, like beneath the surface. And of course, you've got Jesus just hours before he'll die on the cross. And of course, 3 days later, he'll raise from the dead. And then after that, he would ascend to be at the right hand of the Father where he is still today. And so all that's coming. And then you've got his 12 disciples, 11 of his best friends, and then one dude, Judas, who's pretending to be his friend, who's already decided to betray Jesus, who the devil is already just running rampant in his heart. There's a lot going on to this story. And I want to encourage you today and every single time you read the Bible to put yourself in the story. So pretend for a moment you're the 13th disciple. And you're there at this dinner party, and I want you to feel the weight, feel the tension. And so with all that going on, and with all that's to come very, very soon, you still have Jesus, who is calm, cool, and collected. He is not frantic. He is not fretting what's to come. He is focused on his mission. And I think that preaches a little bit right there. And I won't speak for you, I'll speak for me. But when I know beforehand that something bad is coming, Jesus knew. When I know beforehand that something bad is coming, it can consume me. Like, I'm there, but I'm not there. Would anybody be honest? Like, yeah, that's me. Like I'm there, but I'm not there. I'm thinking about what's to come. It could be a bad meeting. It could be a bad situation. It could be fear, whatever. But that's not Jesus. That's how we normally are. But he's not that way. He's not worried. He's not frantic. He's not needy. And the reason why he's not acting like I normally act, or maybe you act, is because he knows a few things. In fact, verse 3, if you got the word open, look again at verse 3. Jesus knows three things. Verse 3 points it out, and there's three things that you need to know today. Not a slide for these, but I hope you'll write them down. Here's the three. Verse 3 tells us. Number one, Jesus knows his power. He knows his authority. Number two, Jesus knows where he's from. And then number three, he knows where he's going. Can I say it again? You didn't get it yet. Number one, Jesus knows his power. He knows his authority. Number two, he knows where he came from. And then number three, he knows where he's going. I wonder, do you know those three things? Do you know the power and the anointing that Jesus has placed on your life? Do you know your identity, who you are, and also do you know where you're going, the mission that God has for you? Because when you know those three things, you aren't worried about the future because you're smack dab in the middle of God's will for your life. Jesus knew a few things. I wonder, do you know those few things? You see, when you know your power that God has placed on your life, the authority. It ain't about you, it's about God putting it on you. When you know where you're from, your identity, you know where you're going, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. I know I'm a young man still, but I've learned a few things being in ministry full-time, pastoral ministry for over a decade. And I've learned that the person that shouts the loudest in the room of how smart they are is the most insecure person in that room. I've learned a few things over these years. The person that talks real, real prideful on Instagram and social media about how awesome they are and how great their kids are, they really are insecure about who they are and their parenting. The person that usually shouts the loudest is the most insecure person. Why? Because they gotta prove it. But here's Jesus, and what I have you shout a moment ago. He got up from the dinner. But he didn't get up to preach a sermon. He didn't get up to tell people how awesome he is, even though he is awesome. He didn't get up to give a speech, even though he's perfect at giving speeches. He gets up to grab a towel and serve people. Are you hearing me today? When you know who you are, you don't have to prove anything to anyone. You are secure in your identity. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know where you're from, where you're going? Do you know the power and the authority that God has placed on you? Jesus gets up, and what's he do? He grabs that towel and he cleans the disciples' feet. So beautiful. Now, some of you know this, but this in itself was an incredible, scandalous act of service. Remarkable what he did. Jesus, the master, he had his disciples that were following him. The master, he stands up and then he bends down to serve his disciples. That is unheard of. Didn't happen. Now, in this context, now I'm not saying it should be this way. This is just the context. But in this context, a wife might wash her husband's feet. In this context, a child might wash their father's feet. In this context, a disciple might even wash their master's feet, but the leader never washed their follower's feet. It didn't happen. Foot washing was normally done by a servant. It was the lowest job you could have in that culture. And I get that that's hard to wrap our mind around, so let me bring it to 2022. In our context, this would be the President of the United States cleaning the toilets in the Oval Office, in the White House, in every room. That's our context. This is the scandal here. It doesn't happen. They have people for that. They have people that do that. This would be the Queen of England doing other people's laundry at Buckingham Palace. That ain't ever gonna happen. This was crazy. This was unheard of. But then here you have, I hope you're hearing me preach this today. You have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the President of Presidents, Jesus Christ. And he gets up to grab a towel. And then he gets down and takes the lowliest place and he serves his disciples. And church, hear me loud and clear. This is our calling. This is who we are. We don't come expecting service. We come expecting to serve others. And just to give you a behind the scenes look at the church here, like we're even careful. Like we're real careful when people brand new that we don't know them at all, don't know their heart. We're real careful when they come. And people have done this a lot over the last 4 years. Of course, none of you, but other people, they've done this a lot. But they come, we don't even know them. They're like, hey, pastor, I got a gift to sing. Oh, pastor, I can preach. Oh, pastor, I can do this thing that's got a nice shiny title to it, you know? And we got people, we don't even know their heart at all, and they come expecting to be on a stage, expecting to have a microphone. I'll just give you a behind the scenes, Luke. Like, look, we are real, real skeptical at first with people coming that way. Why? Because that's not how Jesus did things. Like Jesus, he grabbed a towel. Jesus is like, hey, pastor, you know, or I would call him pastor, but you get the idea, the example. Be like, hey, what can I do to serve? Hey, what can I do? Like, I don't need a title. I don't need people looking at me. It could even be during the week. It can be after or before service. Just what can I do? I'm going to see a need and meet a need. When anybody comes saying, hey, I got to do this and I got to do that, and that's only what I'll do, we're real skeptical. Just giving you a heads up. Now, we do have people with public gifts. People that can preach, people that can teach, people that can, they can sing so good, they sang, you know, like they can sing. Like we have those people. But how many of y'all know, we want to get to know your heart a little bit. Gifts matter, but the heart matters more. And I'd much rather have people up here, and our worship team is like this, much rather have people up here that have the heart. Now they got the gifts as well, but if I have to choose one, I'm choosing heart all day and twice on Sunday. And so we got to have a heart of a servant. That we don't expect anything, that we're not one to serve publicly, we'll serve privately. We want to do whatever we can to serve like Jesus did. I'm going to meet that need. This is who we should be. And not just in the church setting, by the way, but in your life. Not just on Sunday mornings, but Monday through Saturday. Like this is who you're called to be. I'll just say it real clear. If you lead your family or you lead a business, or you lead a department, you should serve them more than they serve you. I didn't get a good enough amen. I'm gonna say it again. If you lead anything, you lead one person, 100 people. You should serve them more than they serve you. This is your calling. If serving is beneath you, leadership is beyond you. If serving is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. You got no right expecting people to serve you more than you serve them. Jesus was always out serving people. This is our calling. This is what God wants us to do. Now notice in the text, John 13, when Jesus gets up, not for a speech, not to say how awesome he is. He knew a few things. When Jesus gets up and he grabs that towel, look at the context. He washes every disciple's feet. Well, why are you saying that again? Here's why. That includes Judas. Let's be real. If I'm in that situation, I'm skipping Judas. Remember This Is Us episode, you know, season five? Like, I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm getting a call. Like, we don't have phones. I'm getting a call, you know? Like, I'm making an excuse. That's not Jesus, though. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't skip Judas? How many of y'all know, all of us, we relate more to Judas than the other disciples? Jesus, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe you don't feel comfortable. I'm more like Judas than the other disciples. And I'm so grateful that Jesus doesn't skip Judas. So he washes their feet, and then he gets to Peter. Now, this is later on. We didn't read this part. It's still in chapter 13, around kind of the middle-ish. But in the middle of John 13 or somewhere around there, Jesus finally gets to Peter, one of the 12 disciples, and Peter is upset. Now, we give Peter a hard time because he's usually kind of like the mouthpiece for the disciples. He's like saying what they're all probably thinking, and we give Peter a hard time. Peter's got what you call a foot and mouth disease. I have that disease, as you've learned, where I say things I shouldn't say, kind of deal. And so Peter, he speaks up in John 13, and he's like, Jesus, don't you dare touch my feet. He's like, Jesus, you can't do this. Why? Because he knows the context. Like, this does not happen. And so Peter is like losing his mind. He's like, you can't touch my feet. You can't do this. And Jesus looks back at Peter and he says this, Peter, if you won't let me touch your feet, if you won't let me clean up the area that's dirty in your life, then you don't have any part in me. And y'all know that preaches right there. Because so often we're like, Jesus, don't touch that area. Don't mess with that addiction. Hey, I'll give you 99%, but you leave that 1% to it. Jesus is like, I want that area too. And so Peter's like, no. You can't. Jesus is like, hey, if you don't let me wash your feet, then you have no part of me. And here's what Peter says next. The Bible is so funny. It's hilarious. Peter says this. He's like, all right, well, Jesus, I do want part in you. So here's some Head and Shoulders shampoo. Here's some Dove for Men body wash. Wash all of me, Jesus. That's what Peter says. He's like, just wash me all. And Jesus, I can almost imagine him kind of chuckling like Peter, like I don't need to give you a bath, you know? I don't need to give you a shower right now. Here's actually what Jesus says. He says this, like you are already clean. You're already clean. And what Jesus is doing, because Peter didn't know this, the disciples didn't know this, even though Jesus gave him a whole bunch of heads ups. But what Jesus is telling Peter is that you've already been cleaned spiritually because you're following me. And what he's doing, and Bible scholars will tell you this as you study the text in the original language, Jesus is again pointing to the cross and how he will soon wash away the sins of the world. So yes, he's washing feet as an example, but even greater than that, he's about to wash away all of our sins. Can somebody give Jesus some glory for that? He was always pointing to the cross. And then we get to John 13, verse 15. And here's what Jesus says after this scene. He says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. These words are in red in a lot of your Bibles because they're from Jesus. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You see, the whole point of this story, the whole point of this message, like really the message in a sentence is this, the big thought, I hope you'll write this down. This is what we've learned. Because Jesus grabbed a towel, so will I. This is the big idea. All weekend long should be your entire life. Because Jesus grabbed a towel, so will I. Jesus says, I've done these things as an example for you, that you would do this for each other. It's all an example. Because Jesus grabbed a towel, so will I. Here's my heart for you and for me. That here at this church, we can't speak for other churches, but for this church, that we're not gonna chase titles, we're gonna carry a towel. At this church, we're not gonna expect special treatment, we're gonna serve others and put them first. And again, not just on serve day, not just on Sundays, but every day. Something you've heard me say many times if you've been here at least a few months, and say this a lot, messages, personal conversations, but we believe around here that saved people serve people. Because of what God has done in your life, you can't help but do that for other people, to return the favor. So we grab a towel. We grab a towel. Today, I wanna leave you with something as we get ready to pray. I try to do this every once in a while. I call them tokens, but things that you can like take home with you, like physical things to remind you of the message. Let's be honest, you're gonna forget this message just like I'll forget it. There's just things that, there's so much going on, and so I love this. But here in the room, we got some amazing ushers, some of our worship team and staff. They're gonna pass these out. I want everybody to grab a towel. We got towels for you. And they're microfiber too, so you can use them on your car or whatever. But y'all go ahead and start passing them out. Grab a towel. If you got something online, well, wait a second. Why don't you grab a towel? And then one for every person, by the way. But grab something at home. It doesn't have to be white. It can be, it doesn't have to be microfiber. It's anything that you got. Grab it at home. I want you to participate in this. Grab a towel. I want you to picture a scene for a moment. It's not spiritual, but I think you'll get the idea across. I want you to picture 2022, this year, the Houston Astros, they get back to the World Series. Speaking it out in faith in Jesus' name. Somebody wasn't paying attention until I said that. Okay, I can get behind that, Pastor. It's a rematch with the Atlanta Braves. They took us out in six. It's game seven now, 2022. Verlander, we didn't have him last year. He's back. He's pitching game seven. Any baseball fans? Anybody? Some of y'all are. My wife's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I could just be making up names and be like, yeah. It's game seven, and we, of course, have home field advantage because, you know, we're awesome. I know God hung the stars just with his words, so he believes in the Astros, you know. That doesn't make any sense, but anyways. So it's whiteout night. I want you to picture this. Somebody gave you free tickets. Thank you, Jesus. And they give you a towel. What's the crowd doing with those towels? Bottom, yeah. Why don't you wave it for a moment? Come on, just play along. You don't have to do it high if you don't want to, just a little bit. It looks pretty cool even now. You can look around. This looks pretty cool. Now, we got a good amount of people here, but I know there'll be like 70,000 there, however much that it holds there. But still, you get the idea. So this is what Jesus calls to do. Grab a towel. I want you to hold it for a second. I want you to hold it. You don't have to wave it anymore, but I want you to hold it in your hand. Now, we've been reading through John's account of this story. I want you to feel it, so don't set it down. Hold it in your hand at home, too. In John's gospel account, we get some good details, but not every detail. But in Luke, don't turn there, just listen. But in Luke, which is the book right before John, Luke was written, Holy Spirit speaking through him, just like all the other authors. But Luke was a doctor. And doctors are all about details. How many of y'all know you want your doctor to be about the details, right? You meet with a doctor before you have brain surgery and they're like, oh, I'm just a big picture person. You're like, no, thanks. I need somebody that's about the details. Every detail matters, right? Like, am I right? And so Luke gives us so many details that we don't get in other books in the Bible. And he wrote Acts as well. But in Luke, his gospel account, he gives us the lead up to that dinner party from an episode of This Is Us. He gives us the lead up. He gives us the walk to dinner with Jesus and the disciples. Why is that important? Here's why. As they're walking to this dinner, they have no clue what Jesus is about to do. Get up and grab a towel. As they walk to dinner, the disciples are acting like little kids and they're debating amongst themselves who's the best. Makes it deeper, right? When you get some context. That's why you got to study the word, not just what's happening there before and after. So they're going back and forth. They're like, who's the GOAT? You know, greatest of all time. Like, who is it? They remind me of like my kids. They're like, you know, everybody wants to be daddy's favorite. And I'll just tell them, I'll tell you, I love them with all my heart, but they ain't my favorite. Their mama is my favorite. And I'm for real because they're going to leave one day if all goes according to plan. But she's staying. Right, babe? Yes. Give me an amen. You know, like that. And honestly, that's good parenting advice too. Like, I don't know everything about parenting, but your kid cannot be the center of your universe. Because they should leave one day. Like, that should happen. That's a natural part of it. It's a different message, but anyways. So they're debating back and forth, who's the greatest, who's the greatest, who's the greatest. And Jesus, hearing all of that and knowing what's to come, he gets up, he grabs a towel, and he shows them what it looks like to be great. The greatest person is not the person who's the loudest or the proudest, it's the person who serves the most, who puts other people first. You want to be great? Grab a towel. You want to be great? Grab a towel. You want to change your family? Grab a towel. You want to change your marriage? Grab a towel. I have never, ever, ever seen a marriage fall apart where the husband and wife were trying to outserve one another. But I have seen a lot of divorces where they were trying to get served because they felt like they earned it and they deserved it and they had served them right before. You want to save your marriage? Grab a towel. You want to save your kids? Serve your kids. Grab a towel. You want to change this city? I know you do. We grab a towel. You want to change your neighborhood? You want to show your neighbors Jesus? Grab a towel. We want to see revival in our nation. Grab a towel. It's our calling. You are never more like Jesus than when you're serving someone else. He came not to be served, but to serve and to lay down his life for you and me. This is our calling. Jesus grabbed a towel, so will I. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes. Keep that towel in your hand. You'll take it home with you. Lord, thank you for setting the ultimate example. That you got up not to give a speech, not to try to prove yourself. You got up and grabbed a towel to serve. And I pray, God, for this church. I pray for me, my family, so many families represented. Not just this weekend and not just on Sundays, but every day that we would look for opportunities to grab a towel, to serve people. With no expectation for them to do something back for us. No strings attached. We will see our city changed. One person, one family at a time. If we will serve. And if we will love. And it all points, Jesus, to what you did on the cross. Where you didn't just wash feet. You washed away the sins of the world, past, present, and future. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, I pray for anybody in this service that has never experienced salvation, that has never given their life to you. I pray, God, today would be their day. As they get a clear picture, not what the world says about you, Jesus, not what articles will write or what people will say on newscasts or social media, but what you have to say about you. as they get a clear picture of who you are, Jesus, your character, your love, your sacrifice, what you've done. I pray even now, God, that they would lay down their life for you. They would bow their knee to you. In the room and online, you can do that right now. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So right now you can do that. You can whisper to the Lord, Jesus, I confess that you are God. You are real. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross. It really happened. You can whisper this to him. Right now, you can go from death to life because of Jesus. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you right now to forgive me, to wash away my sin, to clean, not just my feet, God, all of me, to save me, to set me free. I give you my very life. Thank you, God, for those. It's not based on their past or what they can do or muster up. God, thank you just because of you, your love and your sacrifice and your grace, that they can be forgiven. Thank you, God, that you set the captive free. Thank you, God, that you bring hope to the hopeless. Thank you, God, that no one is too far gone for you. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.